Thank you, Hallie. That was our prelude this morning. Oh, come all you faithful. Just to prepare everybody, no telling what will happen today, so just be prepared for the unexpected anytime something like this goes on. It's been that way in practice, so I don't think it'll be any different today, but we'll see. They're cute no matter what they do. That's right. We're glad you're here this morning. We're going to ask that you join in with us as we stand. We're going to sing Joy to the World. Please stand with us and join in.
Sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness. Wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Again, welcome to our service this morning. We have a lot of visitors here today. Good to see everyone. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage.
Well, good morning, folks, and Merry Christmas to you. It's good to see you here today. We're glad that you're here with us. We welcome those who are watching today by Facebook and YouTube and also our radio listeners. But we're glad that you're here. Your presence with us, this blesses our heart. So we are happy that you have chosen to be here today for this time of worship this morning. I have a very special guest with us that's going to lead us in prayer this morning. Phil Holmes is our director of missions here in Loudoun County. So I'm going to ask Phil to come and say a word and then lead us in our opening prayer. Phil.
Thank you, John. What an honor to be with you all today and to worship our Savior with you. I know this is the Sunday before Christmas, and what a special day it is to come together as the body of Christ. I always receive such joy and benefit from just coming and visiting here at Blairland, so we're grateful for the opportunity. And if you don't mind, allow me to lead us in prayer together. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would be willing to come to this earth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet you would leave the throne room of heaven beside your Father and come in our place, to stand in our place, to take the punishment of our sin. Lord, you would come as a holy God among a bunch of unholy people. And you would even today, Lord, come before these unholy people that we are, Lord, and you would save us from our sins. You would cleanse us from our wrongdoing and our evilness. And you would put in us a heart of Christ instead of the heart of stone that we had had. Lord, what a blessing that is to know that we are redeemed. We are born again, and because of the work that you have done for us, thank you for coming as a baby. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas season, which leads us to Easter. Lord, what a glorious victory we get to live because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that greatest gift of salvation. Thank you for the baby Jesus, but he grew to be a man and stood in our place for our sins. What a precious gift. We thank you and we worship you this morning with our hearts wide open, Lord, because we want to tell you how much we love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Phil. Before the children's program starts, we have some very important announcements to make. One in your bulletin, there's an announcement there about a mission trip to Honduras again. I've met with Johnny, who the gentleman's name is Johnny, that organized these trips, and he really wants us to come back on July the 2nd through the 7th. If this is something that interests you, you can talk to myself or Lance after the service, and we can give you a little more information about that. But wanted to put that announcement in the bulletin. Also, if you're read the Bible through and follow the guides, they're available out in the foyer. So you can pick one of those up on your way out this morning as well. And then, I guess, Chad, go ahead and put up the next slide. We've been doing online giving for quite a few years here. We're switching platforms with that to make it easier for people to give. So we'll be going to PushPay is the app. And you can also give still in the offering plate. The offering plates are here in the service. You can still, we're not doing away with that. That's still a way you can give. You can do it on your phone. You can text give to that number you see on the screen, or you can go online and do that as well. So we'll be talking about this some more as we go forward. This platform, PushPay, will also give us an opportunity to have an app for our church. So you'll be able to download the app on your phone, and the services and everything else you'll be able to see right there on your phone. So this is just another way to make, I guess, more accessible to a lot of other people. And part of that is the online giving platform. So there's three ways to give: offering plate, cash check, those kind of things are still there. You can give on your phone or online and just see myself or Brandon Pittman or Chad. We can give you, answer any questions about that if you have any. So we wanted to make sure we get that announcement out there. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we go forward into the new year. A lot of work's been put in for the children's program. A lot of those adults have been working with them on Wednesday night, so we appreciate their work, and we'll let them get started. So Easton, I think, is first.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
Away in a manger, no crib for a baby. That went remarkably well. Kirk, this is Jeff's microphone. I'm going to give it to Hallie. Okay. Okay, we're going to step it up a little bit.
Let's give them another round of applause. No one was hurt during that performance. That's a good thing.
Nobody threw up.
Again, we thank all those that worked with them. It takes a lot of patience and hard work. So thank you to the parents for bringing them and staying after church and for practice. So we're going to continue our singing this morning. So we're going to ask you to join in with us on the first one, the First Noel, and we'll let you be seated on the second. So join in with us and stand, please, as we sing the First Noel.
Bye.
praises to our heavenly Lord.
Join in with us as we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you for the song the angels sing. We thank you for the gift that was given on that Christmas morning. We thank you for the opportunity to sing your praises this morning. Lord, we pray that you were high and lifted up as we sing and presented the children's program this morning. Yours is the name above all names. We thank you for that. Emmanuel, God with us. Open our hearts as we receive your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. Let's get right back another hand, okay? Good program today. I want to read a verse of scripture from the Bible, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, of course, is the story of Christmas, and certainly that's what we want to talk about today, what Christmas is all about. And I just want to read one verse to you here, and it's Luke 2 and verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the seed of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, salvation is defined in many different ways. But what salvation really is when we are delivered from our sins. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus is our Savior. He is our deliverer. He is the one who came to save us. I had a good preacher friend that was talking about being, he took his wife to the store. And so he was waiting in the car, and they had a three-year-old, and she was kind of tied in the car seat in the back. And they waited and waited, and he said, all of a sudden, the little child cried out, God, help me get out of this thing. And, you know, I don't know if that's how you feel sometimes or not, but, you know, that's what salvation is, and that's what the Christmas story is all about. It's about the freedom that God gives us. You know, when God came up with the plan of Christmas, only He could bring about a plan like this. I mean, everything was put in place. Historically, things were in place. The location, the time, the place, the characters of the Christmas story. I mean, only God could do that. But the reason He came, the purpose that He came, was to save us from our sins. And so this baby that was born in Bethlehem did not stay a baby. And that's what I want you to understand. He grew up to be a man. He came. He lived a life. He died on the cross for us. And He rose again. And so that all that is part of the Christmas story. So God's work of salvation gives us freedom. It gives us a purpose in life. And certainly it gives us the power that we need to live. Now, what I want you to notice is from this verse, and I'm not going to take a long time today, but here's what I want you to notice from this verse, that this Savior who is born is for you. He was born for you. And that makes all the difference in the world. This statement here, that this Savior was born for you, is the heart of the gospel. It's the heart, very center and core of what we preach and what we believe. It's the center and core of our faith that Jesus Christ died for us. He was born to die. And so again, that is the purpose. That is the reason of Christmas. He is our personal Savior. You know, when someone talks about Christ being personal Savior, or someone gives a testimony about being saved, that's what we're talking about here in this passage. He saves us from our sins, and so He is our Savior. He is the only Savior. They did a recent interview about Christmas and the story of Christmas, and they were talking to different people at this shopping mall about what they felt like that they needed to be saved from. And here are some responses to that question. Some say that they needed to be saved from worry, from people who've hurt me, from anger, from financial debt, from things in my past that I can't seem to let go. Others said I need to be saved from bad habits. Others said I need to be saved from myself. But when we get right down to it, you know, that could be part of it. And that would be kind of the thing that goes with salvation, that He gives us freedom, and He gives us purpose, and He gives us a power to live in life. He does that. That is what salvation and freedom is all about. But the main point is, Matthew 1:21 says, the reason Jesus was born is to save His people from our sins. And that's the primary purpose of Jesus being born. So His gift of salvation is freedom. It is purpose. It is a reason for living. It is the salvation that we have through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a Savior has come to save us from something. And He saves us from sin. He saves us from ourselves. So we just need to be honest and admit that, you know, we're not perfect. We need to be honest and admit that none of us bat 1,000. We don't do that. We all make mistakes and we come up short. So what that does, though, that separates us from God. That's what sin is. It separates us from God. So what Jesus did in coming was to make a way that we could be reconciled to God. That's why he is our Savior. He is Christ the Lord, our Savior. We believe that's who he is. See, our problem was sin. And so when he came to solve the greatest problem that we have. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says that there is no single person on earth who is always good and never sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, this is not a popular subject. I understand that and know that. But when we talk about Christmas and the story of Christmas, then we've got to talk about the reason for Christmas. Why did Jesus come? Why was he born? Why did God come in human form? Now, you think about that. God became a man. God came to this earth in the form of the baby that was born in the manger. And that was God's plan. And only God could have a plan like that. 1 John 1:8 and 9, the scripture says, if we claim to have no sin, then we're just fooling ourselves and we're not living in truth. So, you know, the thing about it is, when we admit that and come to that realization, then we are coming to that place of understanding what the Christmas story is all about. We need a Savior, and we all need that Savior, and that Savior who is born is the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So as we think about him today, and we think about his purpose and the reason for him coming, then what I want us to do is just think about at times, you know, when we feel like that we're away from God and God is far from us, and maybe, you know, our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling or off the walls, then the Bible tells us that we cry out to God. Isaiah 52:9 says, the trouble is that our sins have cut us off from God. And that's the reason for that disconnectness. We see it on the personal level in many ways. What happens is worry, fear, anxiety, all these things that we struggle with, is part of that. But we even see it on a global level. We see the injustice. We see corruption in our world today. We see prejudice. We see poverty and all these things. Who can save us? It's not going to be government. Government's not going to save us. It's not business. It's not going to be academics. That's not where salvation is found. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the Savior. He is the one who came to save us. Now, here's where the change starts. Any change that you and I have in our life has to start in the heart. You know, a lot of times we talk about give our heart to Jesus, or to open our heart to Jesus, or open our life to Jesus. But the point is, that's where the change begins. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we believe the story of Christmas, to believe the story of Christmas simply means that we believe that he is our Savior, that he came into this world to save us from our sins. So where that change begins, though, it begins in the heart. Another word for salvation that's used often is the word freedom, and it is freedom. Psalm 118:5 says, the psalmist says, I was in trouble, so I called to the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and the Lord set me free. So this freedom that we have, this salvation that we have, what is it that he sets us free from? Well, he sets us free from the guilt over the past. We know that when we break a law, if we break the speed limit or another law, then there's a penalty to pay for that. We understand that. But there's God's universal law. There's God's moral law. And when that is broken, there's a penalty that has to be paid. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty, he paid the debt for everything that you and I will ever do wrong. That's why he can be our Savior, because he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. And on the cross, he bore our guilt. He suffered the pain. He paid the full price for our sin. Some people call that the great exchange. And here's the exchange. Here's the way it's mentioned in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he took our place. He took our penalty. He frees us from the guilt of that sin. He justified us. God's forgiveness is more powerful than any sin or mistake that I can make in my life. That is the forgiveness of God, and that is the salvation that he brings. He came to free us from bitterness and resentment. You know, we can't prevent the things that maybe some people do to us, or some things that are done to us that are wrong. We can't control that. It's easy to become bitter about those things and stuff like that. But the only thing that we can control, though, is our response to those things. But the freedom we have, the salvation that we have, our standing in Christ, the forgiveness of sin and all that, what he does is to help us with those places in life to give us that kind of freedom. It is freedom from the expectations of others. Proverbs 29:25 says it this way, "The fear of man brings snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." You know, human opinions about ourselves sometimes that others have can have a tendency to disable us at times. But see, what we need to understand is that we're living to please God. And that's where our freedom is. It's not what other people think about us or say about us, but the freedom and salvation that we have for him being our Savior. Part of that is that we, you know, as long as we're right with him, that's all that matters. So we build our life on this foundation, God's unconditional love for you. That's the foundation that we build on, that he loves us. And that his love for us is unconditional. And 1 John 4:18, the Bible says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." And that's how it is. Our mature love for the Lord is what this is talking about. And so we have that love for him, knowing that we have his approval, knowing that he's forgiven us, and knowing that we have a right standing with him. You know, affirmation from others can be important to us at times, but the affirmation we want is the affirmation from God. In Ephesians 1:4, the Bible says, "He has chose us before the foundation of the world." Do you know that? Have you ever thought about that? That God loved you even before you were ever born. That this plan of Christmas, of Jesus Christ coming into this world, that was a plan before the foundation of the world, and you were included in that plan. And God loves you, and he loves you in such a way that he gave his son to come into this world. Before the world was ever created, God loves us. And, you know, I think all of us have the experience in life at times of being rejected, and sometimes we carry that hurt of rejection. But the thing about it is, we have one who loves us. And one who will never cast us out. And one who will never reject us. And that is our Savior. That is Jesus Christ who came into this world. So when we think about that, we just need to focus on God's love for us. And think about some of these statements from the Bible. Romans 8:31. It says this, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8:33. The Bible tells us there, "It is God who justifies us. Who can bring any charge against us?" In Psalm 27:10, "If we are forsaken," the psalmist said, "that the Lord will hold us close when everyone else walks away." So we need a Savior. We need the freedom that he gives. We need the purpose that he gives us to live for. In John 8:36, the scripture says, "If the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed." Now, you know, we all struggle sometimes with habits and things that we want to break. And that's what, you know, we're coming up to the new year. And we all have those new year resolutions that we talk about. And want to make and things like that. But here's what we've figured out about all that. We can't do that on our own. We need a power that is beyond us. And that freedom and that power comes in this relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the one who delivers us. He is the one that gives us that purpose. He is the one that gives us that power. He is our Savior that sets us free. So He is the one that we worship. He's the one that can, He is the only one that can do that. So the solution to our problem was solved at the cross. It was solved in the birth and Jesus coming and living and dying on the cross. You know, basically what He wants us to do is just stop trying and stop trusting. Just trust Him. When we read the Christmas story, and I read this verse to you, "For there is born to you in this day the seed of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He wants us to trust that, to believe that. This story is not a fairy tale. He came as our Savior. God came to give us freedom, redemption, forgiveness, purpose, power. He came to do those things. So He is the solution, but He wants us to trust Him. You know, one of the greatest fears I think that people face is the fear of death. And that really is the acid test, I think, of faith. It's not going to be at a birthday celebration. It's not going to be at a wedding celebration or anything like that. But when it comes down to a funeral, that's where you see the difference. And, you know, we can pretty much believe anything, you know, we want to believe about, you know, life and things when everything's going great. But what about the hard times of life? The emotional storms when they beat down your dreams, when the earthquakes rip apart relationships, the financial fires turn our dreams into ashes, the physical pain that may come our way, and then eventually death that comes to our loved ones. And that's where the true test is found. What happens then? Where's our faith then? We it's foolish to deny this because this is a truth of life. But as a pastor, I know this, that I participated in these many years here at a lot of funerals and grave signs. And I can tell you this, there's a difference. There's a difference in a person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's a difference when they come to this place in life of what we call death. Hebrews 2, 14, 15. Usually this is not a Christmas verse, but this verse says a lot about what Christmas is about. "Insomuch then, as children have partaken of flesh and blood," that's us, we're human. "He Himself," talking about Jesus, "shared in the same." In other words, at Christmas time, He came as a human, "that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death." You know, He came to give us freedom from the fear of death. One of the things about the Christmas story I like is this, and it's a great illustration that's seen in the life of the shepherds. The shepherds' response to the good news when the announcement was made about the birth of Jesus, they heard the message, you know, that God sent through the angel. And the message of Christmas was revealed to them. And here's the illustration. The message of Christmas is revealed to us. How is it? Through His Word. Through this story that we're talking about today. Through our worship. We know that Jesus came. That He was born. That He's born in that manger to be our Savior. But here's the thing. What are we going to do about it? See, they not only heard the message, but they did something about it. They went. And they obeyed. And they worshiped Him. And that's a great illustration of what this is. You see, in bringing this to a conclusion this morning, What I want to say to you is this, that the Christmas story simply is this, that God provided a way for our salvation. Born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior. He is our salvation. He is the only Savior. He's the one who saves us from sin. He's the one who gives us purpose in life. He's the one who gives us freedom in life. He is the one that gives us that power that we need. He is our Savior. So what we need to do is to believe it and receive it and to trust in this gift that He's given to us. And Jesus, our past is forgiven. In Jesus, we have a purpose for living. And in Jesus, we get a home in heaven. And folks, He is our Savior. And that's why we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand for our prayer in time of invitation. Maybe pray together. Father, I don't know the circumstance of everyone is feeling right now today in this building, but you do. And Father, here's what I know. I know that you love each one in this building today very deeply. And you loved us so much that you sent Jesus Christ into this world to be our Savior. Lord, today we thank you for loving us. And we thank you that you made a way possible that we can be saved. I pray for those today who need to accept this gift of eternal life. I pray for those who need to just unwrap the greatest gift that's ever been given, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, bring those today who need to come and believe in you and to trust in you as Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am.
Thank you for being here today. And as we celebrate Christmas and the reason for Christmas, it is about Christ. It's about Him coming to this earth to give us salvation. And so we rejoice in that. So go this week with that and rejoice in that. And may God bless you all and have a good Christmas and just have a good time with family and friends. And make it be a time where we celebrate the real reason for Christmas and enjoy everything else that goes with that. So God bless you and may you have a good week this week. The praise team will come now and they will close us in our benediction chorus.
We'll close with the chorus of Emmanuel. You join in with us as we close.
Emmanuel.
Thank you, you're dismissed.